Therefore, in view of God's mercies, offer yourselves as living sacrifices. Don't be conformed by the ways of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. We read it, but what does that mean? Confirmation, to be confirmed, is the most contrived thing, perhaps, that churches have ever done, because you bring 15 or so young people to the front of a congregation and you make them stand in front of others and you make them proclaim their faith. When does that ever happen in life? Well, unless you're a pastor, I guess. It doesn't, usually. So what's the point? Why confirmation? And often we use the words be confirmed. You're going to get confirmed, as if it's something done to you. But it's the opposite. When you are confirmed, it is you confirming and affirming that you are ready to take the next step. And all of us, I think, today, hopefully, are ready to take a next step of saying, okay, life is different now that I know that Jesus is here. So what's the point? What is the point? I want to show you what this looks like in real life. I'm going to invite my friend Case. Case, wherever you are, he's in the back. What's the point? Now, Case absolutely detests being in front of people. But he agreed to do this today because Case has a life story and a life-changing story that I wanted him to share today that shares what the point of what you do makes sense in the world. Thank you, Case.
And he told me no notes.
No notes. So he's just going to hold on to them.
Can I share something? I probably haven't shared with you yet.
You please. I think you can, yes.
I'll be confirmed twice.
No. Yeah, go.
I'll be confirmed twice.
Say more about that.
I was brought up in a Catholic family and was confirmed. It was a long weekend with 90 other kids, the age of 12, and got done.
Yep, that's about right.
And then as I went on with life, living in Holland, I met a girl who I married 38 years ago last Friday.
Mm-hmm.
And she was from a Lutheran family, so her mum came and see me. It must have been week one when I was there, and she said, you know that we are Lutheran. I said, yes. That means you have to get confirmed again. Anyway, I'm off track, aren't I?
So not when really. You... No, it's a great story. So you moved from Holland all the way to Australia. Tell us about your first experience with the Lutheran Church, or just church in general, maybe, perhaps, in that little place.
In a little place, a town called South Kilkerran.
Yeah.
I walked in a tiny little church. It would have been like the size of the kitchen, maybe a little bit bigger, where we got married 38 years ago, Debbie. And this young man came up to me and shook my hand and said, what's your name? And as you can hear, I got an accent. I said, my name is Case. Where are you from? And he took interest straight away. And he's actually a member. I don't know if you see him, Matthew Dutsky. And he wanted to know more about me. That's what it was like. It was just, I went, that's what living faith is.
Mm-hmm. And so it's about people. And it's an Absolutely. Interest in the stories of people. And so from that place, that little church, moved you into thinking, so how did your faith, how important was your faith as you went through
you
life?
My notes, so.
No, I got it. I'm just working through number two now. How was your faith important to you as you went through, now that you're in Australia? How did your faith change?
So my faith changed through people. So and very important person in my life was Debbie's uncle Stan. He and I played pool every Saturday afternoon. As he enjoyed his sherry, I played pool and he told stories. And he told me about the Bible. He said, you know, the Bible's not just a book. And he just started telling me about these stories. He talked about Moses, about James. He talked about Cornelius. And my name is Case, but my Christian name is Cornelius. Some of you might know the story of Cornelius. He was a centurion in the army. But he gave to the poor, and Stan lived that to every moment of his life. He gave.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that he was a real true example for me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what we're noticing, if you will, is that individuals took interest in individuals' lives, and it wasn't in front of 300 people on a Sunday morning.
No.
Faith was built by individual things, and I think that's a key here. So now that you are, your life's, at this point, your life's calling is to be a butcher, tell us something interesting of what has happened in your life as a butcher about how people come to you.
There's probably hundreds of stories I could tell you, but I could share a couple, if that's okay. We've
Absolutely.
Only got a limited time.
Yeah, I'll sit down.
So this first, I owned a couple of butcher shops. I was about 22, member of this church, had a small group who where I learned to read and study the Bible, and I had lots of people coming into this store because I've made special products. But they didn't just come for that. They went around the back and had breakfast, and some of them are here. Mm-hmm. Had breakfast with me on Saturday morning and share stories and tears and struggles, and it just became a really important part of me, more so than just serving customers.
Yeah, so wherever you are, it may not be in this place, but wherever you are in sharing your faith, it can happen at the weirdest times too.
Yeah.
So you could be, like I remember you telling me the story about you being a butcher and someone coming into the store not to buy meat, but would say, "Case, I need to talk to you. Can you pray with me?" This is in the butcher shop.
Absolutely. And I was young in my own faith. I was still growing. I said, "Absolutely, I can do that." And we prayed for hours.
And you got paid for that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So people would come to you, and it's that individual attention of building the faith through people.
Yep.
And I think that's one of the most important things. Now tell us, it also shaped one of the best stories that I've heard in a long time, the one you told us a couple of weeks ago. A little bit about that.
All right. So one of the things that I did, I moved around a lot. Once I sold my butcher shops, I had many, many jobs. And one job was I worked for a company that took over another company who was struggling. And they had about 40 staff. And I walked into the workplace. I was supposed to be their manager. And they were doing drugs in the toilet. They were doing drugs in the lunchroom. In the lunchroom were iffy magazines. In their locker rooms, there were posters of not their wives and their girlfriends. Mm-hmm. All this sort of stuff. So it was a very interesting workplace. Particularly when you have a drug dealer down there doing ice and then selling it on.
So who was doing the drug dealing?
The owner of the business.
The owner of the business, yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there was also a young apprentice, a 16-year-old, and I got permission for him to share today. His name is Shane, and I spoke to him on Friday. So Shane was a young first-year apprentice, and he was doing drugs, working with knives and a bandsaw, all the sort of things that you're not supposed to be doing. And my first decision was to get rid of all the magazines, all the posters of their wives and their girlfriends, not their wives and their girlfriends, and put some standards in. And then I pulled Shane aside and had some time with him, one-on-one time with him, just sharing life, just listening, see him cry.
And
that
see
was
the
2005.
Thing was, let me go back to saying, so the things that you're sharing weren't necessarily about Jesus or faith at that time. They
Nothing.
Were simply getting to know each other, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And he used amazing, colorful language, words that I have never heard before. Pretty awesome. But the awesome part was, so that was 2005, 2006, 2007, and I moved on. And the workplace was passed on to another workplace, and I moved on. 3 weeks ago, I walk into in a butcher shop, and here's Shane. And he says, "Case, I need to talk to you." "Okay." And he comes up to me and he says, "Case, you impacted me. He said, "Really?" He said, "Yeah." "You have no idea how." I said, "No, not really." He said, "You know, I'm a believer now. And it's because of you. And there's something more about that." I said, "What's that?" "The owner of the business is a believer too. He's full on for Jesus as well. What did I do?"
And you were faithful.
I was faithful.
That's
and
right.
I guess one of the things that I would do was I reflected Jesus by not conforming to their world. I didn't swear. I got rid of those magazines. I got rid of those sort of things that are high standards.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand it, but they asked questions. And I cared about their welfare.
Yeah. And you came at it, and this is the point, one of the points, that you don't come at people with a sense of judgment. It's simply an opportunity of saying, you're important to me because we're on the same team. You're human, I'm human, and you're loved by God.
Absolutely.
And that's the beautiful part about that's what you do. It's great. So as we've come to this point full circle, what would you share with a group of 15 or young people and their families and everyone here today about what is important about a faithful journey?
I reflected on that this morning a little bit. How do I know that God is in me? And all of you young people probably don't recognize the voice of God, the whispering of God. So when you were first born in mum and dad's arms, you're a tiny little baby, but God created you for something really, really special. He actually said, how can I use you in my image? So he gave you your own personality, he gave you a character, he gave you spirit, he gave you a voice, he gave you these amazing, amazing, amazing gifts you don't even realize that he wants you to use them your way.
Mm-hmm.
And then you got baptized and the Holy Spirit lives in you, and that's that little whisper going, now I want you to use that this way.
That's right, and use it with other people.
Absolutely.
And that's
not for
that
yourself.
Last half. That,
not for yourself.
As a body, we all have different gifts and we use them together.
Yeah.
Thank you, Case. Thank you for your faithful journey.
No worries. I didn't stick to the script.
You did. We stuck to the script. Let's pray for Case. Thank you, God, for Case and his journey, for his opportunity to show faithfulness and love in the world. We thank you, God, for Shane and all the people that have found you. Give us the strength to continue to move out and take interests in people as individuals. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Case. Can we thank Case, please? You who are about to be confirmed, you who have taken maybe other steps in confirmation, you who maybe this is the first time that you've experienced a story about how God changes lives, and it might take a while. You never know, Georgie. You never know, Abby. You never know, Chloe. What the words and actions you do right now will have effects 10 years later on. That's the beauty of how God puts us in the right place at the right time. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for putting us in the right place at the right time. Bless each and every person here as they experience their faith journey. Help us to encourage those who are on the road and to live life in it together. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please rise as you're able as we sing.